This is Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Soil Church. Join me right here on Shine Lord Radio Show every Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on We Talk Radio. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there.
We all know that having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to wetalkradio.com/shop and shop.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry your soul. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
'Cause
God is in
control, y'all.
I'm
a
right. Good morning to everybody out there. Good morning to everybody out there. This is Pastor Jeremy Glenn. Thanking you for joining us for the first Sunday in 2022. How about that? For the first Sunday in 2022. And I am so glad to have you on this morning listening to us here at the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as I mentioned, I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, and I want to thank you for tuning in with us on this morning. And again, this is the first morning of 2022. This is the first Sunday morning of 2022. And 2021 was a very strange and different year. But regardless to how strange it might have been, regardless to how different the year might have been, God blessed you to make it, to live, to be able to see the start of 2022. So without that being what we're talking about on today, we understand this is a new year. This is a new day. Everything is new. What I want us to understand is, even though things are new, how long will they stay new is a question that I have for us on today. How long will things stay new? It's a fresh new year, with fresh new ideas, with fresh new thoughts. But the question that I have for us, do we have new goals? Do we have new ideas? Are we doing things differently? And are we doing those things just because it's new? Just because it's new. You know, some of us call things that we set up at the first of the year, sometimes they're called New Year's resolutions. Have any of us set out New Year's resolutions before? Because things are new, because things are fresh. And when something's new, what do we often do? We kind of give it a lot of focus, don't we? We tend to put a lot of focus and we give a lot of attention because it's new. And when it's new, when we get something that's new, we can tend to take great care of it. We can tend to handle it with care. And some of the things that we receive, how about maybe during the Christmas season? They're new. We love them. We appreciate them. We respect them because they're new. They're the new shiny object sitting on the shelf. It's the new thing that we have to add to the collection. It's something new, it's something fresh, and we can often give special time and attention to something that's new. How about relationships? How many of us remember when we established new relationships? We spent a lot of time. We talked on the phone a lot. We did a lot of things together, and we showed gratitude, genuine gratitude, because things were new. We wanted to get to know this person. We wanted to get to know who they are. We wanted to spend a lot of time because things were new. And that's typically what we do. But I got a question for us on today, because we're going to go somewhere with this message as we're talking about something new. And what I want us to understand is, what happens when things are no longer new? What happens when things are no longer new? See, one of the dangers, ladies and gentlemen, of New Year's resolutions is when those resolutions are no longer new, do we continue to resolve? Do we continue to move forth into that purpose and that plan? When it's no longer new, what do? When it's no longer new, do we continue to spend time and focus on it? When it's no longer new, what's next? Was it just something because things are new? Or how long will it stay new, or will we continue to work to resolve it? Have you happened to check back with someone that maybe had a New Year's resolution? Have you checked back with them in June just to see how things might be going? Have you followed up with anyone, and maybe even you yourself, when it comes to September and October? How many of us have continued to move on with something new? Is it still a resolution at that point? Is it still something new at that point? Or was it only a resolution because the year was new? We have all year long to work on some things and develop some things and all of that. But what I want us to understand is, it doesn't take something new to be able to resolve something. It doesn't take something new to be able to show it time and appreciation and value. And as we continue to move on into 2022, what I want us to understand is, it's up to us to keep things new. Now, it's easy to stay focused and to pursue something when it's new. But this may not be the case all the time when something is no longer new. Perhaps checking to see if things were still new and still fresh is what led Jesus to giving the disciples a survey. We've all gotten surveys in the mail. We've all gotten surveys from maybe products that we've bought or services that we've purchased, and the owner of the company or the company wants to know, how did you see our service to you? How has our product been effective for you? It's kind of a thing that we call feedback, and I can tell you, even in my own profession, we send things out called NPS surveys, and we want to get NPS scores in, and we want to look at that information and evaluate that information because it's important for us to hear from the consumers. It's important for us to be able to hear feedback that tells us who we are. And the survey that Jesus gave the disciples, he gave the disciples a survey for a particular reason. You say a survey? I haven't read where there was a survey in the Bible, Pastor Glenn. That's right. Because it wasn't called a survey in the Bible. But he did something very new, and he did something very creative because he wanted to hear from the group of 12. Now, this particular survey, as we get ready to talk about it, we're laying the foundation here, which is a key word. We're laying the foundation for what we're getting ready to talk about, because this is a survey of all surveys. But there's also a response of all responses. And this survey led to what we call the great confession. So before we dive into this word and we're going to break down this survey, I want to open up with a word of prayer, because I want God to open our hearts, to open our minds, to prepare us to receive this word, because we're going somewhere in 2022, and I want God to be able to make sure that we're set and that we're ready to go, because where he's leading, we're going to follow, and where he leads, we're going to follow, because we are, as we said a few weeks ago, we are going to, in fact, follow the leader. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your ever many blessings, Lord. We thank you because you're on the throne, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for bringing us into a whole new year. And while this year is new, Father God, you're always new. You said, Lord, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you're always doing something new in our lives, Lord. Help us to stay new with everything that you have for us. Let it not become stagnant. Let us not become complacent, Lord, but help us to know that you want to always do something new, because you're doing a new thing in this season, Lord. And we ask that you renew our minds, renew our strength, open our hearts, Lord, and help us to hear what it is that you need for us to hear, to mold us, shape us, and grow us, Lord Jesus, to be used in a way that you need for us to be used. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray for everyone listening to this message on today. They're blessed by this word. This word grows in their spirit. And we thank you in advance for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to thank everybody for joining in with us. Those that are listening to us on Facebook, YouTube, also on We Talk Radio, on the Shine Lord program, where we talk, we listen, and we do, in fact, take action. So as we mentioned here, what I want us to understand is, before we lead up, we're talking about this survey that Jesus gave the 12 disciples. And what I want to do is I want to kind of paint an illustration of where we are right now in the Bible during this time. Okay, at this time, just picture with me, if you will, the disciples. They've been traveling with Jesus for quite some time. They've been following him for quite some time, and they have heard some of his great teachings. They've heard him give the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus laid the blueprint. If you recall that message that we had last year, the blueprint, as he laid the foundation for the Christian church. And they were able to hear him do some great teachings, as some of the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes would try to trap him, try to twist the idealism of the message that he was trying to convey by bringing a woman that had committed adultery on her husband and saying, what are you going to do with her, Jesus? Because the Bible says that it's a sin to commit adultery. Jesus did things like he talked in parables. And what he did was he picked up some stones to kind of respond back to that group that kind of wanted to pin him into kind of a word debate, if you will. And he just simply picked up a couple stones and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. He was outside of the box. The disciples were sitting there and they were looking at Jesus and they're looking at the miracles that he's performing. He's turning water into wine. Okay, he healed the woman with the issue of blood. He healed the man with the withered hand. They've seen so many things that Jesus has done. And they've become so accustomed to Jesus performing miracles during this time that Jesus, at this point in time, kind of wanted to get some feedback from this group of 12. So as I mentioned here, what I want us to understand is, you know how things are when they're no longer new. And after a while, okay, newness begins to lose its potency and you need to do something to kind of get some feedback to see where people are, to see where things are, to see where situations are, because it's one thing to be new, but what happens when complacency begins to take its seat? Oftentimes we can experience that in our lives. When something is new, we give it a lot of focus. We give it a lot of attention. We give it a lot of attention, right? But then when it's no longer new, what do we do with those things? And do we begin to lose value in what we have and what we see? Now, just imagine this group of 12 men being led by one of the greatest leaders, or the greatest leader in the history of the world. They've been traveling and they traveled by foot. And at some point, we've all been on road trips, right? Where we were going on a road trip and after a while, that first 30 minutes or that first hour, everything is new and we're all excited. But I believe there was a movie that came out a few years ago called Are We There Yet? Because after a while, you kind of get tired of riding in that car. You're riding with the same people and the song has played over and over. And at some point, somebody's going to get hungry. Somebody's going to get restless. Somebody's going to get irritable. That's what happens after a while when things are no longer new. Now, I can just see Jesus right now as he's leading this group. He's kind of looking at some things and maybe Bartholomew and Luke have an argument every now and then. You know, there are two Judases in this group and they're both probably just a little bit different. John's all super sensitive. You got to be careful what you say to him. And Luke is very meticulous and Matthew is just kind of all over the place. So they all have, there's a 12 different personalities in this group. But out of that group of 12, all of them knew not to mess with Peter, because Peter was what they call a little cray cray. Okay. Peter was a little outside the box. He was rough around the edges and he always packed his blade. They knew not to fool with Peter. But at some point, after you've been in a group for a while and after you've been traveling for a while, sometimes you can get a little tired. Sometimes you can get a little complacent. Sometimes you see the same thing over and over and you experience the same things over and over. So therefore, Jesus in his great wisdom wanted to give them a survey. They've been around so many great multitudes and the people that have seen him, that have been a part of him, feeding the 5,000 plus women and children. They've seen these wonderful, miraculous miracles happen. They've seen Jesus speak great messages among the multitude. But that also means that this multitude have had access to the 12. So after that, what Jesus knew is that it was time to see where everybody stands. After a while, it was time to see if this group that was handpicked by him, if things were still fresh and if it was still new, after they've been exposed to some of the things that they've seen him do. He did this because, again, as I say, after a while, things are no longer new and guards can be let down. When the pandemic first started, a lot of us were hand sanitizing and washing our hands for 20 seconds and we were putting masks and N95s on and everything else because this was a new thing. But after a while and a few mandates that got reduced and some things coming back and whatever the case now, it's like it's an option to wear a mask and we can let our guards down and we can think that things are we're bypassed this pandemic. But because we got tired of things being new, it's easy for us to let our guards down. This is what Jesus wanted to see where the disciples were. Have this group let their guards down. Has this group allowed the world's message to start getting to them? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Has this group begin to look to the right and look to the left instead of looking where the leader is leading them? Have they fallen astray? Because after a while, things are no longer new. So what I want us to understand, we're going to go into the Bible here. And we're getting ready to go into the book of the Bible. We're going to read some dialogue about this survey. And what happens is we're laying the foundation, keep that in mind, as we're laying the foundation, not just of this series, not just of this message, but as for the year of 2022 and where this ministry is going. So if you will, please, we're going to go into the book of Matthew, and we're going to be reading in Matthew, and we're going to come from Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 13 through 18, and I'm going to come from the New King James Version of the Bible. But before we do that, you know, we have our analogy. It's 2022. We're going to still do this here. We're going to still continue to do this because I never know who's listening to us and who needs to know and understand how the Bible works. And just because some of us have grown up in church, or some of us went to the vacations Bible schools, and some of us grew up understanding that there's a New Testament and an Old Testament, I never want to take for granted. And I never want to assume that everybody understands how the Bible works. So my analogy is if you've heard it over and over again, that's on purpose. I want it to get drilled into your spirit. But for that new person that may not know and may not understand, I want to make sure that they understand the Bible is like having two halves. Okay, the left hand is represented by what we call in the Bible as the Old Testament, which there are chapters in the Old Testament, books in the Old Testament, if you will, the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. And then in the New Testament, we have what we call the New Testament. There are books in the Bible, and it starts with Matthew, which is one of the 12 disciples, 12 people that followed, and they were understudies of Jesus, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew starts us with the New Testament. And then we go to the book of Revelations where John, the Apostle John at the time, God revealed some things to him that would be coming in the end times. Okay, there was a great revelation, and we'll talk about that in the book of Revelations as well. But we're going to be hanging out for this Sunday, right? We're going to be hanging out in the New Testament here, and we're going to be coming from the book of Matthew because Matthew has a great account of this survey that we're about to read. So as you see up on the screen here, we're going to read, just in case you don't have your Bible, we want to make sure that we equipped you with the word so you can follow along with us here. We've got quite a bit that we're going to read, and then we're going to break this down so we can understand what it is that we're reading in this text. Matthew 16, and I'm going to start from verse number 13. And again, I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon, who will later be named Peter, answered, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You'll see in this translation, he's referring to hell as Hades. Hades in the old translation, okay, in the New King James, or the standard King James translation is hell. Hell, Hades, same place. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the survey. But now what I want us to understand here is we're going to break this down and we're going to talk about this here so that we can align it with where God has taken this ministry here on today. And we're going to break this thing into three different points. So what I want us to understand here is this, ladies and gentlemen, is called the Great Survey. And this also led to what we call the Great Confession. There was a survey, There were responses, and then there was a great confession. There was a survey, there were responses, and then there was a great confession. And I want us to know that there those three major things happen in this text. Don't worry about if you don't remember it all. We're going to break that down and we're going to equip you with this word because this is going to be a blessing to your spirit. Now, what I want us to understand here, Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. And what do we call people that are the greatest? I just saw Steph Curry, a week or so ago, become the number one, three-point shot, more three-pointers than anybody in the history of the National Basketball Association. He's more three-pointers than Reggie Miller, than Ray Allen, than Larry Bird, all those greatest, and they call him the GOAT. Tom Brady with more Super Bowl rings is called the GOAT. Michael Jordan and his greatness is called the GOAT. Jesus is the greatest leader of all times. But I won't call Jesus the GOAT because he is the Holy Lamb. And what I want us to understand here as we put our first slide up on today is one of the greatest attributes of leadership. I'm talking to our leaders that are out there. Now, who's a leader? We had this in a message a while back. A leader is anyone that has influence over someone else. That can be good, that can be bad, but either way, leadership is leadership. One of the greatest attributes of leadership is listening. Listening to those that are around you and listening to those that have received instruction from you will help you survey the level of effectiveness of your leadership. During this survey, there were three forms of feedback that Jesus was listening for, which would confirm the level of effectiveness of his leadership. Because remember, things were no longer new, so now I need some feedback to see where this group is. Where are they? Who've had access to them? What are things being said? Jesus wanted to get feedback from his group. He wanted to know the thoughts of what men said. In other words, what is society saying about me? What are the people saying about who I am? And what have you been listening to about who I am? He also wanted to know what the team themselves, okay, this group that's been following him for quite some time now, what they thought about him. As a leader, who do they say that he is? And then when we get into the great confession, we're going to also know that Jesus was able to hear who God the Father says that he is. So as you see our next slide up here, Jesus wanted to listen to the responses of men. And when we say men, we're talking about society, of men, his team, and God. Jesus wanted to hear the responses of men, his team, and God. This is why this is the survey of all surveys. Jesus wanted to listen to the responses of men, his team, and God. And as you've heard me say for quite some time now, there is definitely something special about the number three, men, his team, and God. I could talk all day long about the number three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are made from flesh, soul, and spirit. Okay? Jesus rose on the third day. Okay? There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that stood before the team and professed the kingdom of God. Okay, we can talk all day about the three wise men. We can talk all day about the number three, but there is, in fact, something special about the number three. And in this text, he wanted to hear the responses of men, his team, and God. Y'all stay with me now. We're getting ready to go somewhere. So let's break this down into each of those components. Let's talk about what he means by needing the responses of men. So let's listen to what the disciples told him about what men said who he is. In other words, what's the word on the street about who I am? What's the latest chatter that's going on about me? In other words, if it was the social media era, what's all the chatter? What are all the postings? What are people posting about who I'm saying. So as you see, our next slide up, number one, who do men say I am? We're going to read Romans 16 and 13 from the New King James Version of the Bible here. And basically, that's what Jesus is saying. Who do men say that I am? Now, Jesus knew there was a lot of speculation about who he is, as well as there's a lot of gossip, misinformation, tainted views and tainted visions and tainted perspectives about who he is. Now, understand this one thing. The devil tried to tempt him. The Pharisees tried to trap him. And despite all of the miracles that he performed, there was still speculation about who he is. From the lyrics of the old Christmas song that we just sang, "Whose child is this?" to the misunderstanding about who he is performing miracles right before their eyes, to more than 2,000 years later, there is still even today confusion about who do men say I am. It's a mystery in the eyes of a lot of people, even still today. And it was a mystery even back then about who this Jesus is. The response was from the group. Some said John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. How about that? Or one of the other prophets. Categorizing Jesus just another one of them, somebody else. But this is the word on the street. This is why the survey was so important. This is why understanding when it comes to leadership, knowing what the feedback is from the words that you deliver, from the understanding and the communication with your team, because you want to make sure that any misappropriated information gets squashed so that we can all be on the same page. So after listening to the responses of men, it is clear to Jesus there is still some confusion about who he is being the Son of Man. In a more practical sense, when an artist paints a picture, the artist is going to sign his name somewhere on that masterpiece so that there is no confusion as to who the creator of that masterpiece is. So as you see the next slide up on this morning here, Jesus wanted to know, do they see his name on the masterpiece of his work? Do they see the masterpiece of Jesus, the artist? That, ladies and gentlemen, is still a question that we're having to answer on today. Do we see his name on the masterpiece of his work? When we're out in society, do we see the masterpiece of the work of Jesus? When miracles are being performed and healings are being manifested, do we see the masterpiece of his work? When he's made a way out of no way and brought you out of sin and shame, are you seeing the masterpiece of the master's work? That is a question that we still have to answer on today and to make sure that we see the signature of Jesus on his masterpiece. Number two, as you see the next slide up on this morning, now he wants to know, but, and there's always a but who do you say I am? Coming from Matthew 16 and 15, as we're talking about this great survey, who do you say I am? Now that question starts with the word but. That question starts with the word but, which means that it's a continuation on from something that has been articulated. He gotten all the answers about Elijah and some of the other prophets and John the Baptist and all these other things. So then he continued on with this survey by starting off with a but. There's always a but. I've heard about everything out there, but there's a but. I've heard about what you've been saying, but now I kind of want to shift gears with this word called but. In other words, you're telling me about all the gossip and the speculation that's going on out there in society, but since this is no longer new, you've been walking with me for quite some time. You've seen all these miracles that I've performed. You've seen all and listened to all the great teachings that I've given. The question now is, who do you, those that I handpicked, who do you, those that have been with me more than anyone else, who do you, those that have seen me in a different light than anyone else, who do you say I am? Jesus wanted to know, has any of the negative connotations rubbed off on this group? Have the Pharisees and the Sadducees offered a form of confusion to tainting the leader's view on his followers? You've been coming along and you've really been following me for all this time here, but I want us to understand, are you really following me? I want somebody to put that in the chat here. Are you really following Jesus? Let him use you today as an e-minister to get the word out there. And the question that I want to propose, are you really following Jesus? Is CNN tainting your view of the Lord that brought you out of a mighty deep place in your life? Are different social media sites and web chats and different things that are going on, or maybe people on your job, anyone, are they affecting who you say he is? This is a self-evaluation that we have to all give ourselves, because at some point we have to give ourselves a survey and say, am I really following Jesus, or am I following the world's message? Are people having access to me that's tainting my view towards my Lord and my Savior? When I know what he's done for me and I know what he means for me, am I going to let an outside view affect who I say he is? When I know where I was in my life and he reached down with a grip of grace and he grabbed me from sinking into the deep sea, do I let another thought or an opinion affect who I say that he is? This is what Jesus wanted to know from the group. This is why Jesus wanted to give them that survey. This is why Jesus wanted to know, I want to know, who do you say that I am and what do you think about me, because you're following me more than anybody else. You're being used to serve the people of God. You're being used to help bring forth this message, and you're following me and you're taking notes. But I need to know on today, who do you say that I am? And just as any great leader would do, as you see our next slide up on this morning, just as any great leader would do, Jesus wanted to make sure he was not just taking a walk. You know the saying, we've always heard the saying, that if you're leading and no one is following, you're just taking a walk. If you're leading and no one is following, you're just taking a walk. Jesus wanted to make sure, and he wanted to confirm, that he wasn't just taking a walk. That as he's leading, they are, in fact, following. As parents, those of us that are parents, and we know and we understand that we can find ourselves repeating ourselves over and 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 over to the same child. Teachers can find themselves repeating over and over and over and over and over to the same students. At some point in time, you want to make sure that out of all this time that you're spending raising your child, correcting your child, teaching your students, preparing lessons, and all of these things here, that somebody is getting it. You want to make sure that the dots are connecting. You want to make sure that it's not just going in one ear and out the other ear, that something is registering in the mind. I want to eventually see the fruit of my labor. I eventually want to know that something is resonating with all of this teaching, with all of this correcting, with all of the examples. At some point, I need some feedback to know that something is connecting, that something is materializing, that there is a bud that is growing from beneath the surface, and that I can see the fruits of my labor. This is what Jesus was looking for. This is what Jesus was listening for. As he asked the disciples, I can see right now, when he asked the disciples, who do men say I am? As he's panning around the room, he's looking. And he's getting all the responses, and he's getting responses from different ones from out the group. They're all chiming in. But then when he asks the next question, I can just see Jesus right now as he says, but who do men say I am? And he's looking into the eyes of somebody special. He's looking into the eyes of that person that he knows, that he knew the moment that he handpicked him, because Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you entered into your mother's womb, I foreknew you. He's looking and saying, he's looking at this student and saying, I know it's inside of you. I know this is getting ready to come out. I know what's on the inside of you. I know what I placed on the inside of you. I know that you've got this great potential. I know that you've got something deep on the inside of you. I need this to come forth, because in order for the church to move forward, I need to know that this is resonating on the inside of you. Jesus is looking into the eyes of this one special person out of this group of 12. He's looking into the eyes. He's looking at potential. He's looking at potential right in the eyes, right dead smack in the eyes right now. He's looking at everything that he knows that this person is able to do. He's looking at the toughness and the grit and the will of this person deep down on the inside. Because any great leader, they may be especially hard on someone that's got special potential. Sometimes we look at leaders, and sometimes we look at coaches, and sometimes we look at, maybe they're being too hard on me. Maybe they just seem like they're picking on me. Maybe it just seems like everything is falling on my shoulders. That's because they're looking at the potential that you have on the inside. That's because they're looking at the real you that's on the inside. That's because they're looking to see all this teaching and pouring out that they've given you. They want to know and see that that potential is coming out. Is that potential getting ready to now go to the next level? Is that potential now getting ready to take face? Is that potential now getting ready to birth and to come out there so that the world can see what's deep down on the inside of you? Jesus is looking into the eyes of his disciple named Simon. His disciple named Simon. What a special disciple. We know him as Peter, but we're going to talk about that, because there is something that happens in this dialogue between Simon and between Jesus, the greatest leader of all times. Jesus that knows who's deep down on the inside of you. Jesus that knows all of the potential that's on the inside of you. Jesus that knows what your Jeremiah 1:5 means in your life. Jesus that's hoping that you don't just sit back on the sidelines instead of writing out your guidelines. Jesus that knows what's gonna awaken on the inside of you. Jesus that knows, if I can walk on water, so can you, because I know what's on the inside of you. That Jesus that's looking at your potential. All the teachings, all of the showings, all of the lessons that he's given you, he wants to know, is this moment going to resonate? Oftentimes you'll hear me talk about saying, you don't want to miss your ministry moment. That lady that's sitting on a bus may need you to witness to her. That homeless person up under the bridge just may need some encouragement. The people on your job that may be kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and talking all this riffraff about your Lord, he's waiting on that moment for you to bring forth your potential. My question that I have for us on today before we move forward into this message here, how long is Jesus going to have to wait on your potential? How long is Jesus going to have to wait for the real you to come out and shine and sprinkle some salt on this world? That Jesus that's waiting on you to come forth and to bring forth those gifts and those talents that he has on the inside of you. I'm speaking to somebody on today. How long are you going to hold back your potential? How long are you going to just stay comfortable in the boat? How long are you going to just keep everything on the inside of yourself and rob the graveyard of your potential? He's looking at Simon, and he's looking at the potential of Simon. And he's waiting on this moment, because this moment is going to lead to something great. What I want us to understand, as the body of believers, we have to apply this word, ladies and gentlemen, that we're receiving. We have to use the word that we're receiving. That's why in this ministry, my job and my focus is making sure that I teach, that I equip, so that we have the tools that we need to go forth and bring forth that potential that's on the inside of you. That awakening that needs to come from the on the inside of you. If you remember last year around this time, we had a series called The Awakening. And my question is, what has awakened on the inside of you? Is God doing the shaking so he can bring forth your awakening? He's looking at you and he's waiting on your potential. The question is, the ball is in your court. What are you going to do with it? What I want us to understand as we get ready to put our next point up on today, there is a great moment that's getting ready to happen during this survey. This survey is now transitioning from a survey to now leading into something called a great confession. And now there is a historical moment, a historical biblical moment that is getting ready to happen. But I want us to understand something. There is some dialogue between Jesus and Simon that's getting ready to come forth. And it's interesting to me that Matthew only records a response from Simon Peter, which means Simon Peter was the only person that responded. The previous question, there were different responses. And Matthew had written all of those responses down, but there was only one response that resonated with, who do you say I am? I am that I am. In the beginning, there was God. In the beginning was God. And now in the beginning is getting ready to now connect with what's happening on the earth. Let's talk about this person. Let's talk about Simon. Let's talk about something special that's getting ready to happen from this question. Jesus says to this group here, and he says, who do you, and you is plural because he's talking to all 12 disciples, but he's got his eye on one special disciple. All of these guys were handpicked, but only one person was chosen for this moment. Simon. He's about to do something historic. God is sitting at the edge of his throne right now. The angels are circling God and saying, it's getting ready to happen right now. The angelic host is now gearing up for this moment. Jesus is now gearing up for this moment. The great cloud of witnesses are gearing up for this moment because something special is getting ready to happen. And as you hear me say, the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us wherever we are. So there is something special that is getting ready to happen right now as his word is getting ready to come forth, as a great proclamation is getting ready to come forth, the great confession is getting ready to happen. And now I want you to see our next slide up on this morning. Point number three is who God says he is. And I'm going to read this to you in the word of God because there is a response that I want us to know and understand. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's all he said. Jesus now jumps in and says, Jesus answers and says to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And also I say unto you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In that dialogue, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. Whenever Jesus changes your name, things are never going to be the same. Whenever Jesus changes your name, ladies and gentlemen, things are never going to be the same. Paul, okay, the guy by the name of Saul, remember the Sadducee of all Sadducees, the Pharisee of all Pharisees, he was going down the road to Damascus. And during this time, he had an encounter with Jesus and he had a name change. Whenever Jesus changes your name, things will never be the same. In that dialogue right there, he led with Simon, but he ended with Peter. He led with Simon, but he ended with Peter. He led with the person that was the follower, but he ended with the person that's now going to carry forth the gospel. The person that's now going to be the rock, because Peter in the Hebrew means rock. And now Jesus says, we now have our ministry moment. We now have what we need to lay the foundation. We now have the feedback that I've been waiting on. The feedback that I needed to hear. After all of this teaching, I needed to make sure that one sheep got it. And that's what Jesus wants to do, is to make sure we got it. When God spoke through Simon and said, "Thou art the Christ," now the church is now in fact ready to be established. That was called the Great Confession. We confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. That right there is how we become saved. Thank you, Holy Spirit, on this morning. That right there is the blueprint to becoming a believer. That right there is the blueprint of becoming a Christian. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ. Now at that point, Jesus knew somebody got it. And I can build around that one person that got it. I can build around that one person that actually got it. Now it is time for the church to go forth, because we now have the Great Confession. All I needed was a confession. All I needed was for it to be spoken into the open. And now I needed it, because see, God knew it. Heaven already knew it. But now I need earth to be able to speak it into the earthly atmosphere so they can now come forth. Now whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth. Now whatever happens in heaven can happen on earth. Whatever happens on earth can now be bound in heaven. Now we have that connection because we have the confession. Who does God say he is? He spoke through Simon and he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords." And now it is time to bring forth the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Great Confession. And as God spoke the revelation of Jesus Christ through Simon, now it is time for the next level in ministry. Now it is time for the church to now go forward. Now this is the confirmation that the leader by the name of Jesus Christ was waiting to hear. He received it. And now at this point, Jesus had never asked the disciples who they thought he was up until this moment. All he ever did before then was told them to just follow me. Remember, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He just said, follow. Do as I do. Say as I say. Just follow me. Just come along with me. Yes, we're going for a walk, but I'm really leading. I'm going to take you from fishing for fish, and you're going to now fish for men. And we're going to do all of these things. I'm going to show you miracles. I'm going to do all of this. But now I'm going to ask you, after all of this time, after things are no longer new, who do you say I am? This great confession had finally been revealed. And now Jesus is praising the Father for the great revelation. And now he's ready to make a formal announcement about the greatness of the church that is to come. Now, as you see our next slide up here on this morning here, and thank y'all for hanging in there, we're almost done here. The first words after Peter confessed, the first words that came out of the mouth of Jesus were, "Blessed are you." So when you allow God to use you, Jesus will call you blessed. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I want Jesus to call me blessed. I want Jesus to watch me doing his work, doing what he needs me to do, so that he can call me blessed. But not only did Jesus call him blessed, he also changed his name from Simon to Peter, because when Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, that signified Peter's purpose. See, when you begin to allow God to use you, and he's using you for such a time as this, as he told Esther, now you're beginning to work in the purpose of your life. You're beginning to fulfill that Jeremiah 29 and 11 of your life. Now you're beginning to now meet up with your destiny, because what happens is, you see the next slide up here on this morning. Once you know your purpose, ladies and gentlemen, you have a clear path to your destiny. Once you know your purpose, once you can see clearly now that the rain is gone, once you can now see because you were once blind, but once you know your purpose, you have a clear path to your destiny. Once the revelation was made, it's now time to bring forth the church. But this church could not just stand on any kind of foundation. The church has to stand on the rock. The rock of salvation. The church could not stand on just any foundation. The church had to stand on the rock of salvation. Jesus knew, as any great leader would, He knew that in order to carry out the plan for this church, he would have to build his church on a strong rock. A rock that was strong enough that the gates of hell could not prevail against this rock. So as we say now, as you've seen now, the title of our message here, and we're going somewhere in 2022, upon this rock means Jesus is making a formal declaration that the church is being built on the spiritual shoulders of Peter. Peter and his big broad shoulders, and the guy that was tough and rough and the businessman and the guy that packed his blade and all of that was strong enough, gritty enough, and tough enough to be able to withstand any attacks so that the gates of hell would not prevail against Jesus's church. Remember, Peter in Hebrew means rock, and this rock revealed the Christ. Now the church was spoken into existence as I get ready to close. And the foundation can be supported by the rock of salvation. This rock has now been identified. We now have identified the rock, and now it is time to lay this foundation on top of the rock. The rock was already implanted in the soil. I'm going to say that again for those sitting in the back. The rock was now already implanted in the soil. The Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, soil, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. The rock was now implanted in the soil, and now it is time to lay the foundation on top of the rock. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church is today. January 2nd, 2022, this is where we are. The rock has been identified, and we're in the process of laying the foundation of this church. We're not just talking about the church as an establishment or an entity. Yes, we're talking about that because that's who we are. We're also talking about the church that's on the inside of you. Our theme for last year, if you followed our messages last year, we had a theme. And our theme came out of Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within him. We got our power. We received that power. We received that power that implanted the rock inside the soil. And just about every sermon that we preach was the power of strength, the power of relationships, the power of the tongue, the power of faith, the power of so many things. We've got our power. Now what we have on today, what I want us to understand on today, what I want us to understand for the year of 2022, we've got a new theme for this year. And in 2022, as you can see our last slide up on this message here, our theme for 2022 is in Matthew 16 and 18, coming from the King James Version of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listen to the sound of our voice. Up on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our theme for this year in 2022 is upon this rock. I'm going to say it again. I want you to look at me as I talk to you. As we get ready to now go, we're going where God has never taken this ministry before. We are following the leader. And if you go back and listen to just about every message from 2021, it has been leading us up to this moment. We have understood the power of strength, not getting weary in well doing. We have understood the power of the tongue, the power of prayer. Okay, we have talked about the blueprint. We have talked about so many things. We understood about now the transition from going from Saul to Paul. We understand that now faith is as God is, and as God is, faith is, and where hope is taking us. Because hope shines color on where faith is going, because hope pumps. Okay, I'm just going through all of the messages that we've had. And the power of relationships. Two are better than one, but the three strong strand is strong. It's not easily broken. The team that we have is going to be built. The team that we have right now, we're going to be focusing on strength, because we're going to build strength into our team. Because this world out there is hungry. This world out there needs this rock. This world out there needs our salt. This world out there needs love. It needs joy. It needs peace, patience, kindness. It needs all of the things that the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit has to offer. We're going to talk about the fruit basket one day. But I am so excited about where God has taken this ministry. I am so excited about the next level in which we're going. I am so excited about lives being changed and people joining this church and everywhere that we're getting ready to go. And when God is ready to move us into a building, he will do so. But right now, what I want us to know and understand as we get ready to close here, I want us to know something. In 2022, he will build his church through you. Because you are the church, and the church is you. I want to thank you for listening to this message on today. I want to thank you for allowing me to spend a small segment of your time on this message. But before you leave, as we're talking about building the church physically, building the church spiritually, somebody needs to know the Holy Carpenter. Somebody needs to know who the carpenter is. Who is the person that's got everything under construction? You need to know the carpenter on today. You need to know who Peter confessed is the Christ. God brought you through 2021. God brought you through 2020. God brought you through every year that you have lived on the face of this earth, and you're now here for this moment. Don't miss your ministry opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity to be able to help lay the foundation of this church. You need to know who the carpenter is. And I want to today introduce you to the carpenter. Heavenly Father, Lord, somebody out there needs to know who you are. Lord, you've been so good to all of us. Your goodness and your mercy that follows us all the days of our life have allowed us to be able to see this wonderful year. Lord, it wasn't anything that we did. It was all your doing. You protected us from different variants and different strands and so many things. And you've given us wisdom and knowledge and you've given all the things that we've needed because you never leave your people hanging. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you've allowed us, Lord, to be able to one day, to another day, be able to live and another year, be able to see. But Lord, not only do we want to just live and see, Father God, we want to be used for your purpose and your glory. And somebody needs to know who you are. You said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. Lord, feed us your tastings. Give us your sample, Father God. Help us to feed on who you are, Lord Jesus. And for that person out there that quenches that taste, Lord, help us to give them, Lord, the tastings that you have for us, Lord, so they can taste and see. Not just taste, but see that you are good. See that who you are. See the walking, see the talking, see everything that you need us to see in this day, in this time, Lord. Help us to see with our ears today, hear with our eyes, and to walk by faith and not by sight, Father God. Introduce yourself as the carpenter to each of us. Lead us, Father God. And as I lay down and I follow you, Lord Jesus, as the overseer of this church, I ask that you speak leadership and growth and development in me so that we can go to the next level, Lord. My heart is so on point with wherever you want us to be, Lord. Help me to stay strong and help me to stay focused, Lord, where you want us to be, where you want us to go, to affect this world where you need us to affect this world, Lord Jesus. You didn't create this church for nothing. You created it for a purpose and a plan. And I thank you right now. For everything that you're doing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone right now that's dealing with sickness, Lord. I want to speak healing in this land right now in the name of Jesus. Let your salt sprinkle on everyone that's dealing with infirmities. Everyone that's dealing with sickness right now, sprinkle your heavenly salt on it, Lord, because salt preserves. Lord, the spiritual iodine that's in the chemical, Lord, of the salt, Lord, allow your blood to wash clean everything, Lord Jesus, that allows us to be impacted, affected, Lord. All deficiencies, wash us clean, wash us white as snow. Lord, as I humble myself, Lord, and allow you to lead us, Lord, every step of the way, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that you just deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from any strongholds. Deliver us, Lord Jesus, from anything that will keep us bound. All we want to do is please you, Lord. Use this ministry, Lord, to be pleasers unto you. As you build this church on the solid rock, we know and we know and we believe and we know that we understand that upon this rock, you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot prevail against it in Jesus' name. If anybody on today has given their life to the Lord, if that's you, we want to connect with you. We want to stay connected with you. Send me a personal email. Send me a note. DM me. Let's build this thing. Let's allow the Holy Carpenter to just build us in the way that he wants to build us. If that's you, I want to welcome you into this kingdom. The most important thing is that you accept him. We'll talk about joining a church later. We'll talk about all that later. But you need to accept him because he's a church of all churches. This is all about your personal relationship with him. And if you believe that Jesus is Lord of Lords, and if you confess, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you rose on the third day. I believe that you rose with all the power, with all the glory. And I thank you for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. And now you're a believer. You're on the team. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. And let me tell you something. Your life is about to change. You're going to go through a spiritual name change on yourself. They might have used to call you this. Who do they used to say you are? That don't even matter. It's about who God says you are. And that's the most important thing. Welcome to the team. You want to make sure that you get fed with the word of God. Book, chapter, and verse from the word of God that's going to feed your spirit. And if you're looking for a church home for that, tune in. Tune in here. We'll have more information on membership here in the coming weeks here. And I just want to thank you and welcome you. But also, there's an important time right now. And this is a part of the service that everybody can participate in. It is, in fact, giving time. Okay. It's giving time right now. And as you see here, I don't know if we got the slides up, but yep, there we go. We got the slides up here. There are a few ways to give, okay? You can give. You can use your QR code right there. Scan to give to us on Givelify. Okay, pull us up, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church on Givelify. And you can also give to us on Zelle. Download the Zelle app, okay? Go into your app store, the Play Store. If you got a, what is that, the Android, okay? Go into the Play Store. If you got an iPhone, go into to iTunes or whatever it is. Download Zelle and just look us up. Put in info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Listen, if this word has been a blessing to you and you want to be a part of the foundation of this church and where we're going in the next steps that we're taking here, give God a seed. There's a need for every seed and a seed for every need. And we're doing things in the community here. We're doing things to help the people of God here. We're doing things to sprinkle some salt in this world, okay? You want to be a part of that. We pray over every single seed. And as a matter of fact, let's do it right now. Heavenly Father, for every seed that was given, I want to thank those that gave yesterday. You started your New Year's off giving into this ministry. I speak a hundredfold return on your seeds. Thank you that it was on your heart to give to this ministry on New Year's Day. Say, I'm going to start my new year off with just giving into a ministry that I believe in. Thank you for those souls, Lord. Thank you for their seeds, Lord Jesus. For everyone that's going to give on today, In advance, I want to thank you for a hundredfold return for every seed that comes into the word of God, Lord Jesus, that comes the end of the seed that comes into the house of God. Lord, you said that the tithes, bring ye tithes into the storehouse. You said that. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. Press down. Okay, with good measure, press down. Shaken together, runneth over, Lord. You said, Lord, give and it shall be given back unto us, Lord. Help us to understand that it is all about giving. And we thank you so much for every seed, Lord. Thank you for new growth, for new jobs, for new promotions, Lord, for financial increase, for spiritual growth into you, Lord, for leadership into you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you're doing. You know the desires of our hearts, Lord. And help us to give our way into receiving manifestation of those desires. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank y'all for allowing my heart to speak to your heart. Allowing my heart to speak to your heart. We're just getting started. We are just getting started. We've got so many things to go. We got so much more to uncover here. And we've got some wonderful things that are getting ready to take place. I want to give you back your Sunday. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your diligence. I want to thank you for just allowing me to be used to move forth in my rock, in my Peter moment, okay? And I look forward to everything that God is going to do through you. Remember, in 2022, he's going to build his church through you because you are the church and the church is you. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. Beat me there. God bless you. Are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the Word of God like we've never needed the Word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church. And I want to see you come grow grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord 10 a.m. every Sunday. Join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God.
Hey, 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 y'all. This is your favorite producer, DB, on Friday Night Hype. Hey, do you need a radio show to listen to? Well, We Talk Radio, we got your back. We Talk Radio Network has so many shows. We have youth shows, we have grown-up shows, and we have amazing gospel shows. Whatever you need, we cater to you. Again, this is Destiny on the We Talk Radio Network, signing off on We Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.